Letter 39, August 6, 1986. An insider describes horrendous Rome. The weather for the outdoor ordinations at the Society's seminaries in Econe and Sitescope in this year was beautiful. 20 new priests were ordained in Econe, 13 for the Society, and 7 for traditional Catholic communities operating alongside, but not within the Society. 5 Benedictines and 2 Franciscans. And then 5 more Society priests were ordained in Sitescope in southern Germany. I was fortunate enough to attend these ordinations because they coincided with the 10th anniversary of my own ordination at Econe. On June the 29th, 12 of us then were ordained priests of the Society. Of these, 6 were present at the ordinations in Econe this year to celebrate together God's gift to us of 10 years of priesthood and of fidelity to the Archbishop and to the Society of our ordination. We promise to meet again at Econe in 15 years' time to celebrate our 25th anniversary rendezvous for 2001, if God wills. Then I went down to Rome to ask again the question I asked 2 years ago. How can the trained and dedicated high officials of the Catholic Church in Rome be doing exactly what is necessary to destroy the Roman Church? How can the prelates in Rome not know what is happening to the Church? And if they know it, how can they let it continue? 2 years ago, I put the question to the valiant editor of the famous anti-modernist fortnightly paper, Sisi Nono, Dom Putti. He died a few months later, but his answer still rings in my ears. Quote, Don Putti, "There is nothing to be done with Rome. They have all sold themselves to the devil for stupid reasons. They know they are doing wrong, but they don't want to recognize that wrong is wrong. There may be a handful of exceptions. It is very easy now to play a double game. The situation is horrendous. They are egotists. They have no notion of the interests of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then came the indult of October 84, which raised hopes that something good could still come out of Rome. But the only good effect seemed to be the proof that the Tridentine Mass was not completely forbidden. So this time I put the same question to 2 Italian laymen, old friends of Don Putti and of mine, who watch everything going on in the Holy City. Their answers help to fill in the picture. For those who want the truth, let me sketch in their answer. Quote, "Ever since the death of Pope Pius X in 1914, the Catholic Church has been sliding into the abyss through one decade after another of compromises and betrayals. The point has now been reached where an invisible master gives anti-Catholic orders and the whole Vatican obeys. For instance, until recently, all non-Catholic sects were meant to be expressions of creativity, etc., in quotes. But recently the order must have gone out to discredit the anti-ecumenical and anti-communist sects because suddenly we saw an orchestrated series of meetings, articles, books, pronouncements of the Holy See, etc., all following the same line. An attack on the Witnesses of Jehovah, on the Mormons, on the Moon, certain Anglicans and Charismatics, all the sects claiming that there is an exclusive truth and which refuse liberation theology and the progressive political struggle. It is easy to follow such public manoeuvres of the modernists simply by reading their publications, for instance, the Agenzia Adista in Italy." End of quote. New quote. "What is much more difficult to uncover is their secret manipulations, for which, of course, we do not have the documentation. We know that their excellencies, Casaroli, Silvestrini, and Noah, are 3 of the leading enemies of the Church that appear in public, but behind them are no doubt far more influential manipulators who may appear as moderates or even conservatives. There is a whole inextricable network, a semi-secret society of delinquents, a mafia far worse than the mafia associated with Sicily and New York." The quote continues, "Here are 2 examples. In the 1950s, a major biblical scholar in Italy, now dead, Bishop Antonino Romero, set up a strong opposition to the heresies of modernism being spread inside the Pontifical Biblical Institute. He underwent a severe mafia-style persecution, anonymous letters, threats, night calls, etc., and was dropped by his colleagues. Such men are easily isolated. In 1960, he nonetheless wrote a famous article denouncing the infiltration of modernism and masonry in the pontifical seminaries and universities. From then on, he had no peace. He slept away from home, in friends' houses, as though he was being pursued by the KGB. He trusted no one anymore, always fearing an informer, and was driven almost out of his mind. There is, in fact, a highly efficient psychological terror machine at work in Rome to keep anti-modernists in line. Second example, and the quote continues, Archbishop Silvestrini, look up CC Nono, November 15, 1985, is known to have a file in the Vatican with information on all members of the hierarchy, all present and future bishops. But then he also has a secret parallel file containing details from their past, enabling them to be blackmailed. These details will frequently consist of crooked financial dealings or gravely immoral personal actions in which the bishops or candidate bishops have let themselves get involved. Thus, the quote-unquote best of churchmen in Rome today are liable to be silent, for some reason from their past. In public, they give out the hierarchy's official line, namely that all is well, except for the exaggerations of a few progressives, and that, quote, the traditionalists are disobedient, unquote. In private, however, in their very rare moments of truth, they will say, don't ask us to do anything, our hands are tied. The quote goes on. Humanly speaking, there is no way out. The problem is that Catholics are misinformed, but worse still, they do not want to know the truth, because if they knew it, they would be obliged to react. Anything for the quiet life. The modernists have corrupted the faith of Catholics with a utopian dream of a charismatic church without hierarchy, property, or structure to provide spiritual animation for the modern world and bring it to the Teilhardian omega point of man's identification with God upon earth. The quote continues, the modernists themselves at least partly believe in this nonsense. The rest of their motivation is pride. They feel themselves called to build a new church, a new world. The old world and the old religion must go. Hence they have dissolved the latter with a weak and sentimental spirituality of ecumenism, pacifism, and dialogue, and even the quote-unquote best of Romans have given up the struggle. They have no willpower or fight left in them. Quote continues, however, Catholics are not powerless because the simple presentation of the truth gets the modernists in a tangle. Were public opinion against them, they would lose their power. They ensnare people in illusions like, all we need do is properly apply the counsel. They live on illusions, they live in darkness, like a heap of horrible insects beneath a stone. Brought out into the light of day, they are paralyzed. They fear public exposure more than anything. As it is, their secret service of information is such that they know everything and can program and influence even their enemies' actions. But they are not omnipotent, and one day our Lord will tear away the veil, hiding their machinations. End of quote. From this daunting description of the situation in Rome, clear and positive conclusions follow. Firstly, we must pray that God preserve and strengthen our own Catholic faith, pure and free of any taint of heresy, because Catholics' weakness is the modernists' great strength. Secondly, we must pray that he save his church, because he himself said that he sends us as lambs and not as wolves out amongst wolves. He does not want us to fight his enemies with their weapons, but if we will only pray, he can overthrow them in a moment. Thirdly, we do not have nothing to do. We must stand up for the pure Catholic faith and tear apart the falsehoods and deceits of the modernists. Heaven is not for cowards, said St. Philip Neri. Catholics must want to know the truth and must be ready to give battle. Ours is a time not for eating lotus flowers, but for heroism like that of the informers who most likely paid with their lives for revealing the list of 121 Masons inside the Vatican a few years back. See Manfred Adler's book, Die Freimaurer und der Vatikan, page 13. Well, neither the 18 young men presently applying to try their priestly vocation here next month, nor the 200-odd retreatants filling the seminary's seven summer retreats are lotus flower Catholics. Quote, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord will require truth and will repay them abundantly that act proudly. Do ye manfully and let your heart be strengthened, all ye that hope in the Lord. Psalm 20, verses 24-25. We are grateful as ever for your support. We shall soon have to build again at Ridgefield unless someone can swiftly find us a bargain 100-room seminary ready built within easy reach of a major airport and which the seminary could buy, for remember that the novice order would usually rather pay to destroy a building than let it serve tradition. Lord, have mercy upon us. End of letter 39.